Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the new ALS introductory webinar on the 11th of June, 2013, at 20:03 UTC, exactly as it is at the moment. Welcome, everyone, to this webinar. It's the first one that we have done in a long time. We have done some seminars, face-to-face seminars, to explain what the At-Large Advisory Committee was and how it worked and so on. But this one is really a new thing that we're trying for new at-large structures to be able to better integrate themselves in the at-large community and how to make them more effective in being able to take part in the policy development and finding out what ICANN is all about. Some of the feedback we have had from ALS leaders over the years have been that as you arrive in this big organization, it's sometimes very confusing and it's very difficult to know where you fit and how you are able to take part, not only as an individual, but also as a group. And in fact, some at-large structures have been lurking for a while on the side and looking at things and not really understanding much. And after a while, it becomes a little bit overwhelming. Not only overwhelming, but, well, so overwhelming, in fact, that there are times when you just do a select all and delete all of the emails coming in one go and therefore completely lose track of what's going on. So I thought that and with staff, we've been thinking about one way to get you started well. You've applied as an at-large structure, so there is an interest from your community and from your group to take part in ICANN's policy development processes. How do you do that, and where do you fit in the overall scheme of things? That's really what we will be speaking about in this call. I'll try and make the presentation as quick as possible, and then afterwards we'll just open the floor for questions, answers, and then probably give you an idea afterwards of where to look for more information, how to get involved, you know, an easy step-by-step way of getting involved, etc. I hope you can all hear me well. I realize some of you are newcomers. We've got this Adobe Connect desktop system. At the moment, I'm in control of the slide deck, and I also have this handy little pointer. Where is it? Here we go. Little pointer that I can wade around. Afterwards, we will unsynchronize those slides, so you'll be able to flip back at whatever slide you want to look at in more detail. There is one thing that's important. There is a button that's right above the green pointer at the moment. That's a button called full screen. If you can't read what is on the slide in the small window, you can click on the full screen and it will blow it up so you can see it full screen and have more of a chance to read what's written rather than just try and guess. Let's go. So the first thing, the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. I guess this is probably one of the most used slides around ICANN presentations. You've got the board of directors, and you've got all of the different supporting organizations, the things that finish with SO, the address supporting organization, the generic name supporting organization, and the country code name supporting organization. This slide just shows the number of directors that each one of these organizations has on the board. And then you've got the At-Large Advisory Committee. All the ACs, AC, are all advisory committees. The At-Large Advisory Committee, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, etc. You can see them all here. And, of course, the Governmental Advisory Committee as well. Now, the difference between those advisory committees and the ALAC is that the ALAC also has, and this is a recent addition, has a director selected onto the board, seat number 15, as you can see here. The nominating committee is a semi-independent part of ICANN. We have the ability, we as the ALAC or the at-large, has the ability to select a total of 5 people, one per region, to sit in this nominating committee. And this nominating committee then makes the selection of 8 board directors. And that basically makes sure that they're distributed and balanced. They look primarily at gender balance and geographical balance as well. So that's one other good way of at large and of the ALAC influencing the makeup of the board. You can see there's the chair on one side, and you've got the president and the CEO, who also has one of the seats, seat number 16. The numbers for staff have been, since this slide was initially designed, has become a lot larger. So I wouldn't take much notice of the exact numbers in here. There's a lot more people. And all of the liaisons that you see on this side don't actually have the ability to vote. So there are only 16 votes on the board of directors altogether. Why is it built like this, and why do we see this slide so often when the chair of the board, the chair himself, says that the board isn't really the most important part of ICANN? Because we're dealing with a bottom-up system where the supporting organizations and the advisory committees are supposed to be discussing issues before they reach the board and finding consensus before they reach the board, why don't we just get rid of the board altogether? And this is what we've done in our next diagram here, where you can effectively see the different groups in a slightly clearer way. So staff is on this side, and you've got several multi-stakeholder models within ICANN. There's the address supporting organization. They deal primarily with just the numbering. You know, IP addresses, every computer on the internet needs to have an IP address. And this multi-stakeholder model is actually a little bit different than the others, because it incorporates the regional internet registries, which are, some would call it a monopoly, but in fact it's a system that is designed actually to ensure stability of distribution. It's a managed system, stability of distribution of IP addresses throughout the world. And there are 5 regions, each one with the regional internet registry. And each one of these regional internet registries has got its own policy development process that is slightly independent from the others. And they incorporate multi-stakeholder models and multi-stakeholder system. And I realize, while using the word multi-stakeholder system, I hope you all know, but just as a quick refresh, it's a system where you have the various types of stakeholders, governments, private sector, civil society, the technical community, many stakeholders that might not primarily be having the same point of view, but through arduous discussion, and lengthy discussion sometimes, ends up finding some kind of middle-of-the-road solution, sometimes not finding any solution at all. But the whole system in ICANN works on the idea of consensus. The voting is really something that is just used usually to ratify things. If you have to resort to voting to decide on a solution, and the vote comes very close, then it really is a bit of a problem, because it means that a significant amount of the community does not agree with what's going on. So maybe something needs to be done at that point to open the discussions again, and this is what we have seen on many of the processes in ICANN. Another multi-stakeholder model is the GNSO. The generic name supporting organization, as I mentioned, they perform the majority at the moment of the policy development that takes place in ICANN. The reason being that the GNSO is currently working very hard to expand the generic namespace. Generic names are like .com, .net, .org, .edu, and more, in fact, .info, .biz. Very soon, there will be a lot more new generic top-level domains out there. There will be some that will be geographically related to geographical terms, and some that will be related to products, and some that will be related to brands. So that's the GNSO. Lots of work going on, because when you start making changes to things, and this is where the most changes will take place, every opportunity sometimes raises also threats and issues. There's a lot of work that the ALAC does, which is really to advise on everything and anything that takes place in ICANN. A lot of our work relates to the GNSO. And we have a liaison to the GNSO. At the moment, it's Alan Greenberg. He does an excellent job in being able to convey our point of view and also be able to give us more of an idea of what is going on in the GNSO. Sometimes there is so much going on, it's very difficult to really summarize everything, and certainly having someone who's dedicated to being on many of the calls in the GNSO and then making sense of it and making it into something that's a bit more digestible for us is very helpful. Same thing for the CCNSO, the country code operators, you know, .us, .uk, .nl, .de. These country code operators, many of them are historically there, and their presence predates ICANN in many cases. And so they are, I would say, also a multi-stakeholder model, because some of them are from the private sector, some of them are run by governments, some of the country codes, some of the country codes are run by entities which are multi-stakeholder themselves, user groups, not-for-profit organizations, etc. They also have their policy development process. There's not that as much going on in the CCNSO as in the GNSO, but there are things moving on, and we also have a liaison, and our liaison to the CCNSO is Cheryl Langdonor. She also does an excellent job in being able to let us know what is going on there. The internet users at large, well, that's where we are. And as you know, ALSs are very diverse, and we are also very geographically diverse, which is really a very great asset that we have. Some of the other communities in ICANN might not be as geographically diverse as we are. So we have a real duty to bring the input from the world that is sometimes not listened to, because there's very little, there are very few people, if you want, that are represented and that are involved actively in the other parts of the community. The other advisory committees, there are a few of them here. There's the ESSAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and the Root Server System Advisory Committee. These are quite technical in nature. And then there's a technical liaison group and the Internet Engineering Task Force. These two are people who are also on the board, but just as advisors and liaisons to these organizations. And then the Governmental Advisory Committee is where all of the world's, maybe not all, but most of the world's governments send people to bring in the input from governments. And you will have heard recently that the GAC, as it is commonly known, has provided some advice regarding some of those new generic top-level domains that are proposed, and objecting, in fact, to some of them, or asking for special policies to be applied to them. That's the overall multi-stakeholder model in ICANN. At the moment, I noticed quickly on the questions here, I noticed Jose Archie asking how many representatives of new ALSs are connected now. I think we have a few, four or five, maybe less. But this will be recorded, of course, and this will be This, of course, will be recorded and can be made use of later on by those people who were not able to attend this call due to bad timing, etc. So the at-large organizational diagram, you probably have already seen this as well. You can see the five different regions. The different each regions have got the at-large structures. The regions are basically run by regional at-large organizations. Each one of them does its own thing. So North America is NARALO. Latin America and Caribbean is LAC-RALO. Europe is EU-RALO. And I'll let you guess the Asia-Pacific one and the Africa one. But they follow the same naming system. Each one of these regions selects two people to go and serve on the At-Large Advisory Committee. Now, the At-Large Advisory Committee is a 15-member committee. So you've got two people that each region selects, and one person that is selected by the nominating committee. It's appointed there by the nominating committee. So it gives three people per region on the at-large advisory committee. And this 15-member advisory committee then, along with the region, so that this whole committee, 15 people plus the chair of each one of those regions, of the RALOs, then selects the person who will sit in seat number 15, so the person that will sit from the ALAC on the ICANN board. At the moment, it's Sébastien Bachelet, and he has been doing wonders. But of course, when you're selected to the ICANN board, you don't represent your community anymore. You actually have to act in the best interests of ICANN, of the whole organization. You have a duty to act in the best interest of ICANN. That said, because that person in that seat was selected by the at-large community, I would imagine that this person shares the same values as the at-large community, because if they don't, then obviously the at-large community has not voted correctly to select them. So because they have the same values, it's obvious that, you know, our points of view would be well conveyed on the board. That's the whole thing. Now, a lot of people make the mistake between ALAC and at-large. At-large is the whole community, everyone, all the people and the ALSs, representatives, the RALOs, etc. The ALAC is just the 15-member committee. And it's funny because people that have been in ICANN for a very long time sometimes make that mistake. I've had board members asking me and saying, what does the ALAC think? And I said, well, the ALAC or at large? And they just don't know what the difference is. So I keep on repeating this, and you probably will have to repeat this to whoever asks you the question. Now, we've got about 150 at-large structures. We probably have more by now. This presentation was prepared for the Beijing meeting that we had a few months ago. You know what an ALS is because you are new at-large structures. Active throughout the world, the at-large advisory committee itself is tasked with a number of things. And it's basically listed both in the ICANN bylaws, but also in the at-large bylaws that we recently, and the rules of procedure that we recently have updated. One of the main things that it does is to issue comments. Let me take this little thing out. Here we go. Issue comments in response to ICANN public comment requests. Very regularly, ICANN asks the community, the overall ICANN community, and I guess everyone on the internet, they ask questions regarding processes that are currently taking place in ICANN, regarding issues which the board or one of the working groups or the GNSO or the CCNSO or even the ALAC for that matter has and would like to get some input from the public. Now, the public comment requests are often pretty onerous to answer because they require a lot of knowledge. Sometimes specialist knowledge, and they only give us very short time, and I'll come to this in a moment. But it is a very important part of the work that at-large and the at-large advisory committee do. In fact, it doesn't only issue comments in response to ICANN public comment requests, but it also issues comments on any subject, any process, any structure, policy, or topic which is actually related to ICANN, one way or other, both internally and externally. The ALAC has actually commented on recent, well, maybe not so recent, it sounds recent, but a couple of years ago, on the NTIA, the was it National Telecommunication Administration, I can't remember what the name of it is, NTIA anyway, the U.S. Department of Commerce. Someone will have the exact name. Anyway, they came up with a there was a request from them for information from the internet community, and the ALAC submitted a statement to that. Any official advice or public comment or correspondence, official correspondence by the ALAC, is called a statement. If there is a letter that is not ratified in any way, then it's just called a correspondence of some sort. But it's not given the capital A advice part. Now, members of the At-Large Advisory Committee take part in cross-community working groups. In fact, the ALAC itself is then mandated to be one of the co-signers of the the charter. Here we go. God, that was hard. The charter of the working group. So it is co-signatory of it, and as a result, the ALAC can be one of the constituents of a cross-community working group. But also, of course, the work of the ALAC and the at-large community includes relaying both the ICANN message to internet users around the world, and that's not, that's not obviously just the official message, but the fact that things are happening here, and internet users might be affected by this, in fact will be affected by what goes on here, and it's important that they are aware of what's going on, because sometimes it might affect them negatively rather than in a positive way. Sometimes it might affect them positively, but in general, people like to get involved when things show a threat to them more than if everything runs well, they usually leave it to someone else to run. So that's one of the things that we often have to do. And then coordinating the filing of the new GTLD objections is very important. The new generic top-level domains that are going to be released soon, a huge list was built to start with, and for the first time, at-large advisory committee was given a green light to actually engage in an operational process, and that was to collect any kind of objection that anyone in our committee or any end user might have towards some of the applications for new generic top-level domains. There were a number of objections that were considered. Finally, only three objections were filed for three different applications to .health. And so far, the process is ongoing. There's been very little movement on this so far. It's just moving on, basically. But what's important is that the process to be able to filter out those objections and actually end up filing them was entirely designed by members of the at-large community. And I emphasize the at-large community because, in fact, the review group that designed the process and so on was made of a minority of ALAC members, of committee members, and a majority of non-ALAC members. It was geographically balanced, and it had some very good, very promising volunteers in there. And it's really great because, of course, we have such a wide scope with regards to the size of our geographic catchment, but also at the same time, the amount of knowledge that we have in our ranks, the resources that are available to tap into. So really what's important is to be able to tap those resources, get people involved and interested, and then let them enjoy their involvement and be able to help. Now, the whole system works as bottom-up. I've
mentioned this to you a little bit earlier. Effectively, and this is the sort of the ideal way that things should happen, is the at-large structures really decide in which direction things should go, and if there is a response to a public comment, then the comment should be spread all the way out to our at-large structures, and then the request should be sent all the way out to our at-large structures, and the at-large structures should generate a dialogue first in the regional at-large organization, and then the regional at-large organizations can all, through their ALAC member, generate the dialogue on the ALAC, and for a decision to be made really by the consensus of all the at-large structures and the RALOs, and then the ALAC effectively just has to decide from there whether a statement or whether action is needed. In reality, there needs to be a lot of shepherding, both from ALAC members, but also shepherding of the regional leadership, your chairs and vice chairs in the RALO, for those who have vice chairs, to be able to coordinate answers and stimulating the dialogue and the input that is needed. And you will sometimes see on your regional list people on the list, and sometimes your ALAC members asking questions, and I really urge you to be able to take part in this. An example of at-large structure input. There's earlier I mentioned two different types of public comments that could be made. First one is a response to a public comment. So ICANN sends out a request for a comment on a process. And this is here where you might need to actually go into your full screen to be able to read the characters inside the boxes. So it starts really with ICANN asking for comments, and ICANN at large staff forwards those to the ALAC announce list, which should have you all subscribe to it. And it will say there is a request for comments about XYZ. The ALAC, the ALAC itself, the committee would of course discuss this, but there can also be a discussion at regional level. And really the idea, the first step is to find out if a comment is required from the ALAC. Now, in some cases, if it's something that is related, a subject that is related or closely related to the generic name supporting organization, the GNSO, we would also ask our GNSO liaison to comment, because they might have information, insider information or further information to help us, whether this is something we need to spend time on at this stage in time, or whether it is something that we can wait for commenting later on, or whether it's something that is internal to the GNSO and we might not wish to comment at this point in time. But at the same time, of course, if anyone feels strongly about this issue in the RALO, so the at-large structures, they're very welcome to comment on this as soon, as early as possible, really, and to ask for a comment to be drafted. Generally, what then happens, if there is a consensus that a comment is required, someone is designated or volunteers to pick up the pen and write a first draft. And really, it doesn't have to be an ALAC member. It can actually be someone from ADLS, or it could be someone in the regional leadership. Anyone really is able to pick up the pen, as long as you're, all the way down to an ALS representative. And you're very encouraged to do so. I'm hoping that there will be more people drafting, picking up the pen and drafting a first draft. Sometimes with other people, there might be two or three or four people that work together to produce a first draft. That first draft is then put on a wiki page. And maybe, I'm not sure if staff will tell you about the wiki a little bit later, probably. The wiki page, and immediately there'll be comments at the bottom of the page that you can, other people will type if they disagree with some of the points that are made. And if there is agreement, there's sometimes a second version and sometimes a third version. In fact, recently there was one piece of advice that was
particularly hard fought. And I think there were six or seven versions before a consensus was found. So sometimes it takes a bit of time. If consensus is finally found, the ALAC would then have a final statement, so final version of the statement. If not, then unfortunately the statement is not issued and it ends up straight into the bin. And it has happened a couple of times. And unfortunately, it is disheartening, but you're not going to send a statement from the ALAC if there is no consensus in the community. You can't just fool people into thinking we have consensus, and it's particularly important that we stick to this. Views are varied, then views are varied, and we just have to accept it. And then, of course, once there is consensus and a statement is issued, a statement doesn't get released to the public comment period or to the board until it is actually ratified by the ALAC. So the 15-member at-large advisory committee will vote on it and hopefully vote positively on it. But, in general, we've not had any instances of the vote going against the statement, because that would mean there wouldn't be any consensus prior to that. The catch in this whole system is that between here, when the statement is released, and here, the start of the process, when ICANN asks for comments, we have 21-day minimum time. And in fact, in general, most public comment periods only give us 21 days to respond. So it's a real struggle to be able to go from the beginning to the end within the allocated amount of time. And this is where I really am hoping that we can have your help and as much help as possible from everyone at all stages. So both on the ALAC, but also in the RALOs, and you as at-large structure leaders, to look at these very quickly and to comment on them as soon as possible. So that we can take a bit of time to have our discussion to find the consensus in the middle. There is no maximum amount of time that a public comment can be given. The only thing, though, is the way that it's been designed is you have 21 days as an initial comment period and then another 21 days for a reply comment period where you can look at what other parts of ICANN and other people in the community or outside the immediate community have drafted and have put into the public comment process. This works well when you are an individual and you basically can read other people's comments and immediately provide your comment on their comment. It's somehow a lot harder for at large, since we have to find consensus within our own community and go through a vote before issuing another comment. But of course, 21 days plus 21 days makes 42 days. When you are in a working group, let's say, and you issue the opportunity for others to comment on your process, you now have to wait 42 days minimum to be able to get your input from the community. Now, some of those working groups work on very tight timelines, and so they're very they just cannot afford to give more than 21 days plus 21 days. What we've done is sometimes to respond within the reply period because we've been so hard-pressed to respond within the initial comment period. That's the usual stress that we have at the moment. The Accountability and Transparency Review Team, which is an ICANN review process that is takes place every few years, is now looking at the public comment system and trying to see if the initial amendments that were made to have 21 days plus 21 days actually works, or if another system needs to be found. So we'll see later on in the year what they think. Example of spontaneous at-large structure input, pretty much the same sort of thing at the beginning. Rather than having ICANN ask for input, You can have an ALS, just a single at-large structure, wishing to comment on something, discussing this, bringing this up over to the RALO, usually through the RALO discussion list, and then finding out if there is consensus at RALO level through the commenting and the discussions with other members in the RALO. If there is, then the RALO would
engage other railers and find out if there is consensus at cross-railer level, if the issue is felt across, I would say, 3 out of 5 railers is a usual threshold, sometimes more depending. And if there is such a consensus and a real feeling in the community that something is needed, the ALAC needs to take action, then the railers, of course, can engage the ALAC. And sometimes this goes very quickly, of course, because your ALAC members are also on the railo discussion list. So they're well aware of what goes on in the region, and they can immediately bring this up to the level, bring this up over to the ALAC. If there's consensus on the ALAC can decide to have a statement drafted. That sometimes is decided on the email or is sometimes decided on the ALAC monthly call. The ALAC can ask, first statement is drafted again. The ALAC asks for comments. You'll note this again on the announce list, ALAC announce. The comments are coming in. Again, you've got the statement being amended, sometimes many times. Finally, the ALAC issues the statement, and of course the statement is only sent and released to the board or to the GNSO or to the CCNSO or to external working groups when it is voted on and ratified. That's the process for the bottom-up process. It requires much discussion. At least this one doesn't have a very short timeline, except, of course, if the issue is governed by something happening externally and also has a short timeline. So you do have to bear in mind about this. And unfortunately, there's so many avenues where if there is no consensus, then it's better not to issue the statement rather than to issue a statement that might be criticized later on as not representing the whole at-large community. Finally, a few important links, and I apologize if it's taken a little bit more time than I anticipated to take you through this. You've got the at-large correspondence. This is where all of the at-large statements, ALAC statements, and also some of the correspondence, just letters, are posted, and you can see the history of it all in the past few years. That's a very important web page. That's on the at-large website. There's the at-large policy development page. That's on the wiki. It's very important because if you really are interested in policy development, that's the page you can consult and see all of the current statements that are being built. It's like going to a building yard, and you can see things being built, and you're very welcome to read and comment on the processes, bearing in mind, of course, the timelines. Everything is under very strict timelines, so if the ALAC or at-large comment period is closed, then unfortunately it's too late to be able to bring your input. Of course, that's also where I hope to see many of your names on there as future people holding the pen. So hold this one. And then you've got the at-large working groups. This is where some of the work, the policy development work and policy discussion work takes place in at-large. There are so many different subjects that you can get involved with these days. It's very difficult to keep track of everything. So I recommend that you join, maybe as a starting point, join a working group that you're interested in, or on a subject that you're interested in, and go forward with that. Some working groups have regular calls every couple of weeks. Some of them have a call when an issue comes up. Some of them never have a call and work entirely on email mailing lists. And it's important to know that in order to take part in at-large working groups, you don't need to be an at-large structure representative. But if you have someone in your at-large structure that is an expert at something and is able to contribute to the at-large working group's work, then you're very welcome to get them to go in and subscribe to the working group and take part in its work.
And I think that's it. Yeah, that's all there is. And I'm open to questions on all of this. And the 15 minutes was about, actually 20 minutes, but let's open the floor for questions now. Of course, and I forgot to say, if you have a question, that's right. You can use your on the top of your page, you'll have the ability to see a little man with his hand up, or a little person with his hand up, and raise your hand, and then you'll be able to speak. I see Tom Lovenhaupt has put his hand up. So Tom, you have the floor.
Yes, I
presume
you can hear me, correct?
I can hear you. Ground noise, though, Tom.
It's the garbage going by. I'll try to be a little louder. I noticed that everybody is, which is very nice, quite equal within the at-large structures. But I wonder if there are commonality of interests. They have a large number. I don't know if the slides are they random? Can I slip through them at this point? But there's 180 or so at-large structures, and there are others that are primarily interested in city TLDs, that's a question, and if not, is there any method for identifying particular interests amongst at-large structures?
Yes, thank you very much, Tom, for this. In fact, yes, there is a method, but there's two things. Yes, we have a very wide diversity of at-large structures, and of course, it would be unreal, or in fact, it wouldn't be reasonable to expect our at-large structures to be interested in absolutely everything that takes place at ICANN, or to be versed in everything that takes place at ICANN. So some are interested in one subject and others are interested in a subject that's totally different, and therefore they wouldn't have any commonality as far as their discussions are concerned. Now, in order to find out more what our ELSs are interested in, I believe it is the RALOs work together and put together a survey that is sent out on a, I'm not sure if it's a regular basis, but occasionally. I might just have to ask staff, what is the status on the latest survey? Is there a plan for the next survey? I'm not sure whether Heidi or whether Sylvia Vivenko would know of the exact dates and timings for this. Will I have any luck, Heidi?
Hi, this is Heidi. No exact dates yet.
But the last one, Heidi, dates from a couple of years back, if I remember correctly.
Correct. Let me go ahead and see if I can find that. This is Heidi. There was it was in 2010, I believe. So let me just see if I can take a look on the wiki for that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Heidi. And so, yes, there is a survey of at-large structures that is sometimes done on a regional basis, or sometimes, because the survey is so great, is also picked up by the other regions. And that's really a way to learn more about what the ALSs are interested in. I think that there is very likely to be a survey that will be designed very soon by the At-Large Summit Working Group. The summit is something that we've had in 2009. It's a time when all of the at-large structures came to meet in one location, meet face-to-face, and to many it was the first time that they really understood what ICANN was all about. It's very difficult to really understand what's going on during an ICANN meeting, what are the issues, when you just listen to it or watch it, or take part in it once a month. And having this week of face-to-face meetings was a real big start and the enabling factor for a lot of at-large structures to get involved a lot more. We are now working to try and bid for a second at-large summit that hopefully will be able to take place within the next year or so. And if that actually happens, by then, we've already created an at-large summit working group to design a survey for our ALSs to then basically bring forth what they want to talk about, and several subjects, and build the agenda basically of what this week of work would entice if the next summit takes place. Thank you, Heidi, for having put the 2010 at-large survey workspace. So that's what we've got from then. RALOs, of course, are very, they are allowed to if they wish to launch another survey. But as you understand, Tom, it's a lot of work, and there's always a struggle between the amount of time you spend on process and the amount of time you spend on policy. We really here are trying to serve our community with bringing their input into the ICANN policy. And if we spend too much time on process, then you'll have people saying, well, you just keep on looking at yourselves and discussing things about your own affairs, but your function of being able to bring this policy to people out there and get the input from those people out there, you're failing at that. And with limited resources, we sometimes have to space out the surveys and spend more time on the policy. You've got a follow-up question, Thomas?
Yes, I do. It's not really a follow-up. It's another question. All of us, I get too much email, but one of them I get frequently is invitations to ALAC meetings. I'm unsure that I'm really invited.
Ah,
the Naralo, I understand. I go to those, and I'm a member there. But the city government question, yes.
So that's an excellent question, and it's good you remind me, because I keep on forgetting to address this. All of the at-large at ALAC and even the XCOM meetings, all of those meetings are open to everyone, for everyone to attend. They're all open, except, of course, if there is a part of the call that might be deemed as being what we call in camera, which might be off the record because we might be discussing something confidential or something that is currently, something that involves a legal procedure or something which we're not allowed to release in public for a reason or another. But this happens very, very rarely. So everyone is invited to attend. And in fact, in ALAC meetings, of course, the priority will be made for intervention to ALAC members, but at the discretion of the chair. And I if we do have time, we usually ask for comments from anyone. So it's just really a matter of time, basically, how much time we have. Priority for ALAC members to speak, but if you wish to speak during an ALAC call, you're also very welcome if the chair invites you to. And it's the same for the working groups as well. You don't need to be a member, an official member of a working group, to attend a working group call, but you can, you can just dip your toe in first and find out what it's like. When I started out in at large, I spent a number of times just going on working group calls and finding what it's like. And, before I knew it, the chair of the working group, whoever it was at the time, said, oh, by the way, we've got someone who's here and has been listening. Let's hear some fresh ideas. What do you think? and that's how it started. So I hope that answers your question, and I hope that I will see all of you on the ALAC call. It's particularly important that ALSs are aware of that, because yes, by nature, sometimes it's a bit inhibiting. A lot of people you don't know, a lot of people whose names you might have heard, some issues which might be of real importance, and which might affect internet users very, very much. And the first step is always the hard one to make. You're not quite sure whether you're allowed to talk or not. But I can tell you, you're allowed to attend, and if the chair tells you, hey, you've got the floor, then you've got the floor.
Thanks again.
Oh, I see that. There's a note in the chat from Winthrop U mentioning that sending notices to ALAC meetings out to all ALSs are okay, but getting notices regarding ALAC votes can sometimes be confusing. That's a very fair point. I'm not quite sure what the answer is to this. We try to be as transparent as possible. So obviously, you know, the notices mentioning the ALAC vote are really out there to show everyone that the ALAC is voting on something. Each ALAC member then receives a private message from the voting machine, or voting system, which has their ballots. And they can then click on that, and that sends it over to the voting system. But notices themselves are public, and that's something which was here ever since I've been involved. So I don't really know what answer to give to this. I see Sylvia has got another call. I know, yes, Sylvia, you do have another meeting coming up very soon. Yes, only the 15 members of the ALAC may vote on the policy advice statements. The votes are mentioned as being, mentioned to everyone that they're taking place. And, of course, the results of the votes are circulated to everyone. There are a number of things as well. The ALAC mailing list, which is ALAC, which only has ALAC members on it, is actually, so it only has the 15 members on there plus the liaisons. But archives of this mailing list are open for everyone to read. Now, we've got the at-large mailing list, which everyone can read and write to. And then there's the ALAC announced mailing list, which is the one that that is just an announced list where only staff and myself can post to, and where everyone is subscribed to. And that's just to try and keep traffic at a manageable level. There's also an ALAC internal list, which you should be aware of. That's usually used for any internal matters, such as travel arrangements and people having a gripe mostly with travel often, or during ALAC meetings, where are we going to have lunch or dinner or this sort of stuff. I try, for any policy discussions, I and my prior chair also, frowned upon such discussions taking place on the internal list, and push it out over to the ALAC public list. I see that Heidi has got a few more things. Any other questions? And if not, then we can go through the additional information sources, and I was going to ask Heidi to pick up the microphone for this part.
Hi, everyone. This is Heidi. Actually, I'm going to be joined by my colleague, Matt, who hopefully is going to be sharing his screen so we can take you through the various issues. The first one I'd like to go through is just to make sure all of you are aware of the at-large website. And while Matt is getting his screen to be shared, I'm going to put that link into the system, into the AC chat. So Matt can just walk you through that. That's the aim of that. So in addition to the ICANN main website, we have the at-large site. And if you want to start going through that while Matt prepares sharing the screen, we can do that. So this one, basically, the main ones are down the left-hand side. We have members of the at-large advisory committee, regional at-large organizations. Now, these link to the various wiki pages. So you can see, for example, on the regional at-large page here, I'm going to put that link in. Okay, Matt's sharing that now. So, Matt, can you click on the regional page so we can see that it literally just takes everyone to their portal? So you can see, Matt, up on the gray left side, the regional at-large organizations. Second box, please. There we are. So basically, that's how everyone can get to their, a very easy way for everyone to get to their wiki pages for their particular RALO. We call these portals. And on each of these, Matt, if you wanted to click, for example, on Lac RALO, what we do is we post major announcements. Okay, here on Lac RALO. If you wanted to do Lac RALO, Matt, please. and click to the portal. That's the wiki page. Okay, well, let's see. Okay, so this is the Lakwalo portal, but each of the five Walos have their own portal. And Matt, if you scroll down to the announcements, okay, so you'll see that staff update all of these announcements. So we can see the most current ones will be in big red letters that we currently, for example, have nominations open for various positions. So each of these Walos portals will have that. Matt, if you want to go back to the at-large website, I just wanted to show two more things to you. So if you take your time and take a look around that, so we are aware that it needs some pretty serious updating, and we're in the process of that. Matt, if you wanted to go to the correspondence page, please. This correspondence page has all of the final statements that have been approved by the ALAC. So statements going to in response to public comments, going to the board. We also have various correspondences. So this, again, contains the final statements and correspondence since the ALAC started, so it goes back way almost 10 years, just about. And you can see how much more active the ALAC has become over the last several years in terms of statements and then as well as quality of statements. Okay, Matt, thank you. And just if you wanted to, just as a segue to our wiki pages, that we have, go ahead and click on the gateway section. If you could just circle, everyone can see what the gateway section is intended for, sort of a fast entry, fast way to get to that areas. And we have a link that takes you directly to our at-large advisory committee portal. And this is really the starting point for our vast wiki page network. Matt, if you want to just scroll down to, again, announcements, all the various staff announcements are there. So we have the ALAC weekly meetings. The next one, we have briefing sessions. The at-large ALAC will often suggest various briefing sessions open to all members of the at-large community, and these are really interesting sessions. They have guest speakers, experts from staff as well as the community talking on particular topics. We also have the next meeting, so that will be the Durban meeting in July, and that will have the at-large website, wiki page for that. And if you wanted to go up to the gateway, please, and click on the policy development page. This is really a key page that I encourage all of you to go to frequently. This is where all at-large statements are developed. So Matt is the one that maintains this page, and you can see what all of the statements that are currently being developed, and you can add comments to drafts. And then you can also see the closed statements. So that is a history of all recently closed statements, if you didn't want to go to the correspondence page. Olivier or Matt, are there any other points you wanted to go over on this? I think those were really the highlights. Just maybe one final one. Matt, if you wanted to go down to the working group page. Oh, okay, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, so as you're getting to know our wikis, we have an at-large wiki training guide available in all six UN languages. So you can take a look at that. This guide actually uses the at-large wiki page as an example. So as you're going into this, you can actually, the examples are drawn from the at-large wiki page. Okay, thank you, Matt. Take a look. And finally, this is the at-large working group portal. So all of the active and even archived working groups and ad hoc working groups are on this page. Their workspaces are listed here, Matt, if you can just scroll down, please. Thank you. But again, if you wanted to, for example, contribute to the WHOIS policy, you can see midway there that you can just click on the WHOIS policy workspace and see what their activities have been. Etc. So if you wanted to just explore which working groups you're interested in, you're welcome to join all of those. Okay, and finally, Matt, if you could go back to the main ALAC portal and click on the at-large outreach workspace. It's at the very top there, just to grab everyone's attention, just very at the top. Matt, you're going down. Just right there, right after the first text, paragraph? Midway in the page, Matt? There we go. Oh, Matt, bring us. There we go. Nope. So, Matt, directly, well, I guess if staff don't know where it is, that's an issue. Matt, it's directly below the blurb. It's at large outreach web workspace, right? Matt, go to the right. It's on the main, it's not on the gray box. There we go. Okay. So this page lists a lot of at large outreach information that will help you, or is meant to help you, in terms of the various at large brochures, the beginner's guides. We have several beginner's guides, one for at large, one for ICANN. I believe Olivier sent those to you when you were certified as an ALS. There are the links to our at-large Facebook page, the Twitter page, presentations, including the one that Olivier presented earlier today on this call, links to the various RALO wiki spaces, at-large structures. So all of you, Matt, if you wanted to, there's the ALS starter kit as well. All of you received that from staff. And a Nutri PLD page. Thank you. So there's the starter kit, and I put that link into the chat earlier. And if you wanted to go back to just, let's say, again, let's try the AFRALO portal. I just wanted to show everyone that each of you, as an ALS, as a certified ALS, has their own wiki page. So if you wanted to, Matt, just draw down to the AFRALO ALS page. So you can see that all of you will have a space that you can create your own wiki space. Staff are happy to help you with this. This is really intended for you to suppose to everyone what your activities are, what your current activities are regarding ICANN activities. So we put your logos, et cetera. A lot of you need to still be expanded a little bit. But this is something that we're happy to help you with. There's Eyesight Tunisia, which is Tijani, then Jamaz. ALS, so he has that. Basically, a little bit of information about the organization and some activities. So I think, Olivia, I think that's it.
Well, thank you very much, Heidi, for this very comprehensive list of things and information that is available for at-large structures. I must say, I myself am a bit overwhelmed by all of this. On there, I realize there is a lot. On there, and whilst going through the pages, you'll notice there are some pages which are on the www.atlarge.icann.org, the at-large website, which Heidi has put the link to. You'll notice there's a lot of stuff that is out of date on there, and that's because there is an overall plan to replace the website altogether with something that is much more much better, basically. Unfortunately, it's been a long-term process, and we thought it was going to take less time. There have been interviews conducted and so on. It's on the way to being redone. The other site, the wiki pages, is completely maintained by volunteers and by staff, by at-large staff. And just to give you a quick history of it, it was originally running on another system. All the pages were transferred automatically by a machine. Some of the pages, when they were transferred, got lost and got bundled across in the wrong location and things. So there's still a few inadequacies around and a few things out of date. But Matt and other ICANN at-large staff have done an amazing job in being able to somehow put it back together and make things feel a lot more human. And so it's improving on a day-to-day matter. And of course, you're very welcome as volunteers to help towards its building. If you don't have a login for the community wiki, then you can ask this. Just email staff@atlarge.icann.org. And they will create a login for you so you can then amend pages, etc. Tom Levenhaupt, do you have your hand up? You have the floor.
Thank you. I had made a suggestion that the Naralo May meeting about an at-large city proposal. Proposal is the right term that I've made previously, and I was asked to post it somewhere, and one of those places that Matt just looked through, I don't know which one. So where would a proposal, so the basic idea was that the at-large.nyc, at-large.berlin, at-large.london names should be reserved for special purposes. And it was suggested by Garth that I post it somewhere else rather than where I had it. Where would that appropriately go in your, I guess I could check the minutes of the meeting, but I don't know where they are, so I apologize for taking up the time, but very personal issue here.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. That's an interesting thought. Of course, by posting, you can do it in two ways. I mean, there's no general workspace or open plan space on the wiki for people to ask questions or make suggestions. What usually happens when one has a good idea, such as this one, is to post it to the mailing list. And I'd imagine that the mailing list would be if you've emailed the Naralo mailing list, but you'd like a wider audience, you might wish to email it to the at-large at atlargelists.icann.org, the overall at-large mailing list, and see if it gets picked up this way. Or you can ask one of the ALAC members to post it onto the ALAC mailing list. But usually things get picked up from the at-large and also get carbon copied over to the ALAC mailing list. There's also another working group that deals specifically with new GTLDs. That's the new GTLD working group, but I'm not sure whether it's suitable to discuss this with the new GTLD working group. Does this help you, or...?
Is that address again, the at-large at icann.org, is that what it was?
Yeah. Staff, would you be able to give the thing, is it at-large at at-large-list.icann.org, I think?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm into the chat right now.
It's in the chat. Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you.
Here we go. It's in there. For some reason, the chat doesn't work for me. So anyway, that's we're 10 minutes over the ending time, the official ending time for this. Yeah, Matt has put the staff address. I've put the at-large list address. Oh. Heidi has put the at-large list address on there. That's good as well. Seem to have much delay on my chat at the moment. Any last questions? I realize we are 10 minutes beyond the allocated time for this call. And if there are no questions, then just one more piece of activity of what's going on. We've got the Durban meeting coming up in July 2013. It's only about a month away, which obviously makes staff very stressed because they have to help out with putting the schedules together. There is a whole set of wiki pages that relate to the Durban meeting. There will be several calls for questions to be asked to the board, to the GAC, to all of the people that we are going to meet with. And I really urge you all to make your suggestions. If you're not able to be there in person, this is, you know, the time when you can get the questions from your ALSs brought forward very quickly to be discussed with whoever the ALAC will be meeting with. So Heidi has put the at-large Durban workspace link on the chat, and I invite you all to look through it and read through it. There's also a link to the prior workspace, the Beijing meetings, and you'll be able to see some of the activities that took place then. It's always a very busy week. Last time we had in excess of 20, 25 meetings, official meetings, and then there are also the unofficial meetings, the lunches, the after meeting drinks and discussions, the corridor discussions, the lobbying, etc. And everyone is pretty much wasted after that that week. Durban has got 21 formal meetings, which is less than what Beijing had and less than some of the other previous meetings we had. I don't think we can do any more because staff and you know and many of our members are completely tired after this. So that's it for this call. Any last questions? Or I hope it's been helpful for you. And as I said, this call is recorded. It will be transcribed as well. So if you want to come back to it later on, you will be able to. The agenda page will have the links to the chat, the links to the recordings in English and in Spanish, and the transcription as well. The link to the transcription will also be on there. So as I said, if you wish to share this with your community, you're very welcome to do so. And if you know of other at-large structures, this is where I'm going to put you to work, other new at-large structures in your part of the world or even in other parts of the world, but which you entertain good links with, then please share the details of this call with them. The presentation is already available as well on there. And of course, if you have any further questions later on that you've not thought of just now, you're very welcome to email me or email staff, at large staff, and or email any of the people you know on the ALAC, and you know, and get answers. This is a very open community, and there's no stupid question out there. We all started somewhere not knowing what this was all about, and we all ended up at one place or another finding out at some point and then progressing from there. What's really important is that you take part and that your community is able to voice their concerns and their input into the ICANN processes and be aware of what's going on. And this is only possible through you. So thanks very much for attending. And thanks to staff, and thank you very much to Veronica for the interpretation. I know that I sometimes speak a little fast, and but it's always great to have the facility of having other languages represented. Thanks, everybody, and this call is now adjourned. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Olivier. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.